Chapter 2 Gavin Gile sleepily eyed the papers that slid under his door and wondered what Carris was punishing him for this time. His rooms occupied half of the top floor of the Cromeria, but the panoramic windows were blackened, so that if he slept at all, he could sleep in. The seal on the letter pulsed so gently that Gavin couldn't tell what colour had been drafted into it. He propped himself up in bed so he could get a better look and dilated his pupils to gather as much light as possible. Superviolet. Oh, son of a... On every side, the floor-to-ceiling blackened windows dropped into the floor, bathing the room in full spectrum light as the morning sun was revealed, climbing the horizon over the dual islands. With his eyes dilated so far, magic flooded Gavin. It was too much to hold. Light exploded from him in every direction, passing through him in successive waves from superviolet down. The sub-red was last, rushing through his skin like a wave of flame. He jumped out of bed, sweating instantly, but with all the windows open, cold summer morning winds blasted through his chambers, chilling him. He yelped, hopping back into bed. His yelp must have been loud enough for Carris to hear it and know that her rude awakening had been successful, because he heard her unmistakable laugh. She wasn't a superviolet, so she must have had a friend help her with her little prank. A quick shot of superviolet Luxin at the room's controls threw the windows closed and set the filters to half. Gavin extended a hand to blast his door open, then stopped. He wasn't going to give Carris the satisfaction. Her assignment to be the White's fetch-and-carry girl had ostensibly been intended to teach her humility and gravitas. So far that much had been a spectacular failure, though the White always played a deeper game. Still, Gavin couldn't help grinning as he rose and swept the folded papers Carris had tucked under the door into his hand. He walked to his door. On a small service table just outside, he found his breakfast on a platter. It was the same every morning, two squat bricks of bread and a pale wine in a clear glass cup. The bread was made of wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet and spelt, unleavened. A man could live on that bread. In fact, a man was living on that bread, just not Gavin. Indeed, the sight of it made his stomach turn. He could order a different breakfast, of course, but he never did. He brought it inside, setting the papers on the table next to the bread. One was odd. A plain note that didn't look like the White's personal stationery, nor any official hard white stationery the Cromeria used. He turned it over. The Cromeria's message office had marked it as being received from S.T. Recton, Satrapy of Tyria, town of Recton. It sounded familiar. Maybe one of those towns near Sundered Rock? But then, there had once been so many towns there. Probably someone begging an audience, though those letters were supposed to be screened out and dealt with separately. Still, first things first. He tore open each loaf, checked that nothing had been concealed inside it. Satisfied, he took out a bottle of the blue dye he kept in a drawer and dribbled a bit into the wine. He swirled the wine to mix it and held the glass up against the granite blue sky of a painting he kept on the wall as his reference. He'd done it perfectly, of course. He'd been doing this for almost 6,000 mornings now. Almost 16 years. A long time for a man only 33 years old. He poured the wine over the broken halves of the bread, staining it blue and harmless. Once a week, Gavin would prepare a blue cheese or blue fruit. But it took more time. He picked up the note from Tyria. "I'm dying, Gavin. It's time to meet your son, Kip. Lena." "Son? I don't have a..." Suddenly his throat clamped down, and his chest felt like his heart was seizing up. No matter that the chirurgeons said it wasn't. "Just relax," they said. "Young and strong as a warhorse," they said. They didn't say, "Grow a pair." "You've got lots of friends. Your enemies fear you, and you have no rivals. You're the prism. What are you afraid of?" No one had talked to him that way in years. Sometimes he wished they would. Or Holum. The note hadn't even been sealed. Gavin walked out onto his glass balcony, subconsciously checking his drafting as he did every morning. He stared at his hand, splitting sunlight into its component colours as only he could, filling each finger in turn with a colour from below the visible spectrum to above it. Sub-red, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, superviolet. Had he felt a hitch there when he drafted blue? He double-checked it, glancing briefly toward the sun. No, it was still easy to split light, still flawless. He released the lux in each colour, sliding out and dissipating like smoke from beneath his fingernails, releasing the familiar bouquet of resinous scents. He turned his face to the sun, its warmth like a mother's caress. Gavin opened his eyes and sucked in a warm, soothing red, in and out, in time with his laboured breaths, willing them to slow. Then he let the red go and took in a deep, icy blue. It felt like it was freezing his eyes. As ever, the blue brought clarity, peace, order. But not a plan. Not with so little information. He let go of the colours. He was still fine. He still had at least 5 of his 7 years left. Plenty of time. 5 years, 5 great purposes. Well, maybe not 5 great purposes. Still, of his predecessors in the last 400 years, aside from those who'd been assassinated or died of other causes, the rest had served for exactly 7, 14, or 21 years after becoming prison. Gavin had made it past 14. So, plenty of time. No reason to think he'd be the exception. Not many, anyway. He picked up the second note, cracking the White's seal. The old crone sealed everything, though she shared the other half of this floor, and Carrie's hand delivered her messages. But everything had to be in its proper place, properly done. There was no mistaking that she'd risen from blue. The White's note read, "Unless you would prefer to greet the students arriving late this morning, my dear Lord Prism, please attend me on the roof." Looking beyond the Cromeria's buildings and the city, Gavin studied the merchant ships in the bay, cupped in the lee of Big Jasper Island. A ragged-looking Atashian sloop was manoeuvring in to dock directly at a pier. Greeting new students. Unbelievable. It wasn't that he was too good to greet new students. Well, actually it was that. He, the White, and the Spectrum were supposed to balance each other, but though the Spectrum feared him the most, the reality was that the crone got her way more often than Gavin and the 7 colours combined. This morning she had to be wanting to experiment on him again, and if he wanted to avoid something more onerous, like teaching, he'd better get to the top of the tower. Gavin drafted his red hair into a tight ponytail and dressed in the clothes his room slave had laid out for him, an ivory shirt and a well-cut pair of black wool pants with an oversized gem-studded belt, boots with silverwork and a black cloak with harsh old Elishan runic designs embroidered in silver thread. The prism belonged to all the satrapies, so Gavin did his best to honour the traditions of every land, even one that was mainly pirates and heretics. He hesitated a moment, then pulled open a drawer and drew out a brace of Elishan pistols. They were typical for Elishan work, the most advanced design Gavin had ever seen. The firing mechanism was far more reliable than a wheel lock. They were calling it a flint lock. Each pistol had a long blade beneath the barrel, and even a belt flange, so that when he tucked them into his belt behind his back, they were held securely and at an angle so he didn't skewer himself when he sat. The Elishans thought of everything. And, of course, the pistols made the White's blackguards nervous. Gavin grinned. When he turned for the door and saw the painting again, his grin dropped. He walked back to the table with the blue bread. Grabbing one use, smoothened edge of the painting, he pulled. It swung open silently, revealing a narrow chute. Nothing menacing about the chute. Too small for a man to climb up, even if he overcame everything else. It might have been a laundry chute. Yet to Gavin it looked like the mouth of hell, the Evernight itself opening wide for him. He tossed one of the bricks of bread into it, then waited. There was a thunk as the hard bread hit the first lock, a small hiss as it opened, then closed, then a smaller thunk as it hit the next lock, and a few moments later, one last thunk. Each of the locks was still working. Everything was normal. Safe. There had been mistakes over the years, but no one had to die this time. No need for paranoia. He nearly snarled as he slammed the painting closed.